Well, welcome to Digging Deeper, podcast and ministry of City Church, where we delve into topics, truths, and testimonies we would not normally have time to do on a Sunday morning. And you've probably seen Pastor Lisa Tony on several of our other podcasts. And one thing that I thought would be super fun to do would be to share her story, because we see the person and all that you see in a communicator and all those things, but you don't know the journey behind it. And it struck me, I don't know that. And so I thought it would be fun to just talk to you about your personal story. So number one, Pastor Lisa, welcome.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here, Kyle.
Glad you're here. And so really tell us about your upbringing and where you're from and all that basic stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a Midwest girl. I grew up in Michigan and I grew up on a small little inland lake called Higgins Lake. So I'm a water girl through and through. So, and I grew up in a Christian family. We went to church on Sundays and, but there was definitely, you know, a point in time when I had to make that faith my own. And that journey began with a big betrayal in my life, actually. I was dating a boy very seriously in high school. We dated for about 2.5 years. I was pretty convinced I was going to marry him. And then I started noticing that my best friend started acting very differently around him. She would touch his shoulder and laugh a little too long at his jokes. Yes, you know where this is going. So I was very mature about how I handled the whole thing. I wrote him a note and said, I think there's something going on here. Do you want to be with her? Do you just not want to be with me? And he's like, no, I want to be with her. And so it just kind of, you know, I was 17 and it kind of just shattered my world because I thought I had my future all laid out. And then, you know, it broke my heart so much because one, I was mad at him, but it was really hard to be betrayed by my best friend. We'd been best friends since I was 6. And so I just didn't think friends were supposed to do that to each other, you know? And so it really shattered me pretty hardcore. I mean, I hit a funky place of depression. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. My pastor, who was my mentor, actually, I remember him taking me out. We in my little town that I grew up in, we actually had one of those drugstores with an old fashioned soda fountain kind of thing, you know? So he took me out for a root beer and he's like, you know, Lisa, this is where you have to make that decision. If you're going to really follow what you say you believe as a Christ follower, are you going to like double down on the ideas of forgiveness? And are you going to move forward? And like, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what I want to do here. Cause I was so filled with anger and hate and despair and frustration. And I remember praying and I began this journey with the Lord every night, praying to God, asking him to help me forgive because I did not have that within my own capabilities to do. And so just as a 17-year-old every night, Lord, help me to forgive them, help me to forgive her. And you know, I'm in high school and so seeing them all the time, you know, and so that was hard. And I remember the Lord was very faithful. And this was after months of praying this prayer. I met her out in the parking lot and I was like, wow, I can forgive you. And I don't even know where it came from other than just that repetition of obedience to, you know, that challenge of I am going to choose the Lord. Like God has given me a choice of how I want to live and I have to decide if the Lord is my life or not. And so I remember that being very pivotal as my faith of saying, am I just going to live my life full of anger and rage, or am I going to choose to try and give those things to the Lord and live a different way?
That's really good. So grew up in a Christian family. How many siblings?
Yeah, I have 2 sisters. So I have one older and one younger. So I'm the middle one that learns how to navigate it all, right?
Okay.
Yep.
And then high school, got this relationship, this breakup thing. Then how does the college story play in?
I was public school girl my whole life. And then for college, I had some choices and I found a Christian college, a liberal arts school called Taylor University in Indiana. And I was so excited for the chance to get to go there. I had no idea what integrating faith in learning looked like because I'd been in such a secular environment for my education. And so I almost like had this double life, you know. It was like church on Sundays, real involved in youth group and leadership and go to church camp and church conferences. But then like school was very secular. And so I really felt like I had two me's. I had the Christian Lisa and I had the secular Lisa. And so I really, going to a Christian college was such a cool opportunity for me to learn, and really felt the Lord call and challenge me to unity, that I didn't get to be two people. Like, I had to figure out how to be one Lisa that was living Jesus, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. And so that was a really fun opportunity for me to be able to do that. I floundered a lot in what to major in. I think I changed my major like five times. I almost joined the Coast Guard. I didn't know what I was doing. And I ended up in communications because I love being able to communicate and speak. And I love words and the opportunity to connect with people in that way. So I got a degree in communications and a minor in public relations, and then had to figure out what comes next after school. Yeah. Is this the big choice, right?
I see communication. That's it. That's totally you right there in public relations. So did you want to go into like PR and all that stuff?
I did. Yeah, I did. I was going to go kind of corporate and do public relations and some kind of communications within a company. And I was really in a season of wrestling, as most of us are when we're in college. But I bounce around from some churches, but I really was getting frustrated with the church. Honestly, I loved Jesus, but can I just be honest? I felt like church was boring and I felt like it was irrelevant. And I wanted to have fun. And I thought Jesus was fun. And I remember going to youth camp and it was fun. And I'm like, why are all these adults so boring? And so I really kind of just was like, yeah. And I really had a moment with the Lord. It's one of the, I've only had just a handful of times. So I felt like the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, Lisa, if that's how you feel, I need you to go to seminary and train and change it. Change the way church is done.
Wow.
And I was like, really? I don't know. Can I do that? You know? So I had a lot of questions I had to work through with the Lord. I didn't know if women could be preachers and speakers. And that was the era. I was very much gifted in leadership. And so I just didn't even know. I had to find some new resources, some new people to talk to, some new ways to think about things. And by that time I was dating another guy and he was not feeling so great about me going into ministry. It's like, why can't you just be a teacher or a nurse or something? I'm like, so I was like, Lord, and he had a great job. He had a house, he had a car, the whole thing. Like I would have been set if I would have just stayed where I was, you know, but I just,
but your
had
vision
this,
would have been crushed.
Yeah. And I just had this sense from the Lord that this is what I was supposed to do. And my parents weren't in favor of it. I mean, I did not have a lot of people that were like, but I just had this like fire that had been ignited in my soul. And I had some people that really believed in me and pointed me to some places. And so I had two different seminaries that people recommended to me that were really supportive of women in ministry. So I checked both of them out. I flew out to California and it was like the heavens opened up and was like, these are my people. I loved the six lanes of traffic. I'm like, yes, I don't have to get stuck in one lane of traffic. I mean, now we get stuck in every lane, but you know, back then you could navigate it. So I ended up having to break up with my boyfriend and that was really hard. I remember I was working a job as an admissions counselor. So I was representing our school and I had to kind of make a decision. And so I'm like, I threw out what I call a fleece. I don't know if what it was, but I'm like, okay, Lord, if I get out of this conference early, I'm going to go break up with him and just move to California. And if I don't get out of this conference early, then I'm going to stay. Like, it's just the sign for me to stay. I don't recommend that you always like do this with the Lord, but this is how I rolled back then. So, I got out of the conference early and I happened to have my red power suit on and my red heels. So I showed up at his door and just said, dude, it's over. Sorry, I'm moving to California.
Wow. Straight to his door.
Yep, I did. And I mean, it was hard, but yeah. So I packed up my blazer. I didn't know a soul out here. I drove cross country and, you know, had some bumps along the way. All my friends were like, stay in Vegas when you drive out. It's so cheap. And so I drove to one casino. It was so flipping expensive. I'm like, I can't stay here. So I drove down the strip to some seedy place, but I could afford it. And I remember after I paid, I like pushed all the furniture against the door because I was so scared to be in this hotel. It was awful. And then I woke up and my car top carrier had gotten stolen off of my blazer with half my worldly possessions. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I ended up in the Vegas police station. I often start the story that way. When I was in the Vegas police station. but you know what? The Lord worked it out. I had enough money saved for one semester of seminary, and I got an insurance check for the car top carrier being stolen, and that paid for my second semester of school. And so the Lord was just so faithful. I came out here and I didn't have a place to stay and found a place to stay, and the Lord provided jobs, and I was able to graduate seminary debt-free.
Wow.
It was like just the hand of the Lord all the way through.
What seminary did you start?
I went to Fuller Seminary in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what did you come out with on the Fuller side?
Yep. So I graduated with a MDiv, which is a Master of Divinity. Okay. So that's kind of the big three-year degree where you do the full languages of Greek and Hebrew.
It's three if you're hauling and very productive.
If you're hauling. Yeah, I did full-time summers, the whole thing.
I started towards the MDiv route, and that was my goal, and then realized, wow, this is taking forever. And so I veered and settled on an MA and felt just fine about it.
That works great. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I moved out here, Kyle, like pretty well convinced that I was just going to be single because I really hadn't met a guy that was okay with women in ministry and women in leadership in the church. And so, and I had made my peace with it. I was like, cool, it's me and Jesus together out here, you know? And so that was totally fine. And then,
I understand a piece of your story is you met someone in a study group.
Well, in Greek class of all places. Okay. And I did ask for his phone number first, which he always likes to say, but it was our small group in Greek class. Yeah. Okay. So I asked for everybody's phone number in our small group. So I started, we started kind of hanging out to study Greek. Right. And then he asked me out and we went out to Santa Monica to a little Indian restaurant. And for an hour I drilled him on his theology on women in ministry. And I just didn't believe him that he was okay with it, but he had grown up with some really positive, strong female spiritual leaders. He'd wrestled through it with scripture and come out feeling very strong. And so, so after my hour of drilling, I decided I'd go out with him again. And we did break up.
I was going to say, I've heard a twist in the story.
There's a twist. And then we got back to Hebrew. So I'm like, dude, we're running out of dead biblical languages to study. So we need to get this figured out. Right.
So how long were you actually separated from each other?
I think we broke up like right around Halloween-ish around October, and then we got back together in our summer intensive. So
okay, that's a good chunk of time. That's where it's like, did you feel like at that point you fully said goodbye and thought it was over, or did you feel like maybe we'll get back together?
Well, he started dating someone else in seminary that I had to watch them, you know.
Oh, there's your high school all over again.
I know. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, I just need to become a nun, Lord. What do I do? So, yeah, it was painful and hard and lots of questioning and doubts and uncertainty, you know. So, yeah, I think it was hard because he'd always been friends with the people that he had broken up with for past relationships. And I always drew devil horns and mustaches on mine. So I was really trying to grow as a human and figure out how to be friends with him.
Yeah.
So I did that. We moved where we were able to have friends, and then like, okay, well, we can have coffee as friends. And then we started studying Hebrew and decided to get back together.
That is very cool. So then the second time around, how long till things got a little more serious?
More serious. Let's see. Well, we ended up dating about 3.5 years. So for quite a while we dated, and I think both of us were a little commitment shy. We were like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? You know? And so, and then we got engaged in January and got married in May. So one of those long dating, short engagements.
That makes sense. Yeah. So then, have you guys lived in California for your whole marriage?
Well, he was in seminary also on the MDiv track, but I was kind of practical ministry and he was on the academic track. So he always knew he wanted to get his PhD and become a professor. So when we graduated, I graduated before he did a year, and I got a job at a church working. And then he graduated and got accepted at a school in Chicago. And so it was really kind of crazy. We were able to figure it out. So I moved with him to Chicago while he was doing his degree, and I would commute back and forth between California and Chicago and kept my position at the church. And I was on a team, a staff team. So we kind of had a rotation. And so I, you know, could still do ministry by phone and computer in Chicago. And then he did 2 years of coursework, and then we were back for the holidays and back for the summer. And once he finished, we came back to Southern California.
That's cool. And you have 4 kids, right?
We have 4 kids. Yeah. 14-year-old girl, 13-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy, 9-year-old girl. So 2 boys, 2 girls.
And I've heard the amazing story of your daughter's eyes. And I've heard you preach about that a few times. And the eyes are all doing well today.
Yeah. So my youngest was diagnosed as blind in one eye when she was 2.5. And we had no idea. She had just a super rare case of cataracts that had to be removed, which they were able to do. But then it was a matter of getting her brain reconnected to her eye. So it was a very long journey of patching and her good eye to force her bad eye to connect with her brain, and lots of prayers and patience. But she's doing really well. The Lord has healed her. And I legitimately feel like I have been witness to a miracle of healing from the Lord.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So tell me about your ministry journey along the way from, well, first off, from your calling to then after that, what I'm guessing there were a few different churches along the way.
Yeah. And
tell me about that.
Well, you know, my home church, I think, is still one of my most special places because I had a pastor that very much invested in me and gave me opportunities to be involved, whether that was at Vacation Bible School or inviting me to come along with him when he was doing ministry. Mm-hmm. I remember him prepping for a funeral and coming to pick me up to go meet with people at the house. And so he was very much always recognizing a leadership gift in me and was very supportive of me. And I always encourage people, if you see people that have that kind of leadership gift, to pour into them. Cause that, I mean, he still is the person I call when I need something or someone to pray for me because he was such an advocate for me. So my home church, I did a lot of ministry in. To kind of set that groundwork. But I remember when I first came out to California, I got a job at a tiny little church in Glendale, and it was about 50 people. And they were so encouraging. And it was so sweet because I mean, I had never given a whole sermon before. I was leading worship. I was helping with the youth group. I was doing a little bit of everything. And I could have fainted dead away. And they would have been like, good job, honey. That's you know, they so were good. So That's supportive. So and it was good because I mean, people would say, Pastor Lisa. And I'd be like looking over my shoulder, like, who are they talking to? This is weird, you know? So it took a while to kind of get used to that. And I served there for my whole time in seminary. And then I decided I wanted to pursue ordination, which is kind of like the denominational blessing of professional ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to my home denomination to do that. And this church was in a different denomination. So then I got a job at a church called that was in the denomination, but it was a part-time position as a women's pastor. And I didn't even know what that was. I'm like, and at the time I was not married and I didn't have kids. And so I remember looking at the position and I called them. I'm like, I'm not married. I don't have kids. They're like, that's okay. I'm like, I don't do crafts and teas. They're like, that's okay. What are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to teach the Bible and raise up leaders. And so they hired me and I had no idea what I was doing, but I just doubled down on having fun. So I would do women's events that were meant to be fun and integrate spiritual direction into those, you know, and it really thrived. And that was really exciting. So then I moved into a position of spiritual formation and worked with small group ministries. I worked with a young adult ministry. So I've worn a lot of different hats over the years in church ministry. And then recently I've transitioned. I'm working with an organization, Women of Faith, and doing some online events and kind of some, I'd almost call it like Christian life coaching. We call it faith habits coaching, where we're really helping to coach people through how to live life faithfully as a follower of Jesus.
That's really cool. And you have a travel company now, don't you? Or is this a new endeavor I'm not supposed to ask about in a public
setting? No, it's totally fine. Okay. No. Yeah. So one of the things that I've done my whole kind of time in ministry is take people over to Israel, to the Bible lands, Greece. And when I was in college, I spent a month there and it just brought the Bible to life in such a powerful way. And so I've partnered with different groups for so long, but I just really felt the Lord was like, you could do this, Lisa. And it's really a sweet spot for me because I love to bring the Bible to life. Mm-hmm. And so this is a really powerful way to do it. So I founded Inspire Travel Group and work with, it's a groups trip. So, you know, either with churches and congregations or schools, it's been really fun to take families together as part of schools to go or organizations or businesses that want to take a group of people over to Israel or Greece, do the footsteps of Paul or footsteps of Jesus. I just got back from Italy. And so we kind of traced Paul and Peter through Rome and the establishment of the early church. So yeah, that's been a really exciting new kind of surprising development of my ministry.
Give the website. We'll put it underneath.
InspireTravelGroup.org.
There you go. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. And just so good to get to know you. When I see a clear calling from the Lord all the way through to serve in high capacities. And I'm honored to know you, call you a friend, and just grateful to get to know you a little
better. Thank you, Kyle. Well, I feel the same about you. And next time, I'm going to ask you the questions.
Oh, okay. All right. It's fun to be on this side because I just sit there and go, yeah, interesting. Okay. And nothing's off the table.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.